All right, welcome into Oak Rover Competitive Bystanders. This is a new show, and we're talking about sports. You guys don't know that thing yet. You're supposed to say sports back.
Oh, sports.
Sports. Yeah, it's just a thing we kind of do. But anyway, we wanted you guys to introduce yourselves, because this is your show, and you're going to be running it. So tell everyone who you are.
What's up? I'm Alex. I'm an LA Rams fan, so I'm a masochist. Love to watch teams that can't win. But, you know, love to get the hype going and then just ruin your whole season.
Yep. And then I'm Mason. I am a Jazz fan. Grew up here in Utah. In the NFL, I've kind of got a bunch of different teams. They make fun of me a lot for that one.
Yeah, he's got about 6-7 teams that he likes or roots for.
You got to pick one. Or
well, I mean,
you
can
have some other ones you like, but you got to have one team.
So wait, you're saying there's a difference between teams you like and fans? I think that's something that Alex argues with me about.
No, I agree with you that there's a difference, but you don't have, like, a team, or you'll like, oh, yeah, I like that team, too, and I like that team. Oh, yeah, the 49ers, they're good, I like them. Oh, the Raiders?
But
yeah,
who's your team, though?
I'd say it's between the Niners and the Packers.
So which one is it?
You don't have to decide
right now, but you need to figure it out.
Okay, we'll look into that.
Yeah, figure it out and then come back next week and let us know which is your team, because
just the one.
You got to pick one team.
Okay.
Yeah, and yeah, so I'm a Broncos fan and a Spurs fan. So,
So I hate you on two fronts, apparently.
it's the way it goes.
Yeah, I got to agree with that one. So today we just kind of wanted to cover a bunch of different topics, mostly just with the recent NBA deals. That's going to be the majority of it. But we wanted to start out talking a little bit about soccer, too. Recently, Real Salt Lake played a game against the Seattle Sounders for the U.S. Open. Neither of us were really happy with the way that Seattle was playing that game. Real Salt Lake looked like a lot stronger team. They were taking a lot more shots. They were taking good shots. They just kept on kind of getting bounced out. They just didn't really quite land where it needed to.
Yeah, and I felt like Seattle didn't play like they could win. They played to go to PK shootouts because we had a non-experienced keeper that we had already kind of, you know, set in. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like they played as a team who wanted to win, and by being the better team, they just wanted to go to PK shootout and kind of almost just hope for a win.
I mean, Real Salt Lake had 70% possession. They were taking probably three times as many shots.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like Seattle was just biding time, even from early in the second half.
Oh, yeah. They looked like they were a hockey team with the other team on a power play. They were just kicking the ball out. They had a few runs, but they weren't trying to control the ball very much. They were trying to make sure that you weren't scoring.
Yeah.
The thing about it is I feel like our national team does that every single game.
It's true.
Like, they just try to, like, play keep away for a while and hope you don't score on them and go for a tie. Whereas, like, I've talked about this on other shows that I do a lot, but I really want them to attack more. And
yeah,
it drives me nuts when teams are like that.
I agree, because I feel like, you know, you see it in football sometimes, you see it in other sports, where all you're really doing is playing for a tie. You're playing for overtime. You're playing afraid. And with that, it's just not exciting games to watch. It's not games that fans want to be at. It's not games that I feel like the players even want to play in. It's just boring.
Yeah, but would you describe that as, like, unsportsmanlike play, or would you just say that you don't like that, watching that as a fan?
I don't like watching it as a fan, and I don't feel like it's a recipe for success. Is the biggest thing. I mean, I don't care if Seattle wants to do it, because I don't care about Seattle. Like, if Real Salt Lake played that way, I'd have more of an issue with it because they're the team that I identify with in the MLS, even though I don't follow it a ton.
Right.
But when our national team does it against all these other teams that are good at attacking, and we're just playing that, let's just go for a tie, guys.
Yeah.
I think it reflects badly on, like, our country, just because we're not playing to win, we're playing to not lose.
See, and I feel like that doesn't represent our country at all.
No, it doesn't.
I feel like as the U.S., we are very much, we win everything. Even if we don't, we say that we win.
Yeah, and I mean, if we don't win, we're going to go out in a blaze of glory. Like, we're going to try everything. And really, I mean, just look at the sports we play, like, more of, like football and basketball. Like, the point of those is you got to attack.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to score points on both of those to win. You've got to, like, be trying to, like, go for it all the time, or you're not going to win. Mm-hmm. But then in soccer, we're just like, Just kick it back and forth.
Yeah, and I feel like that's part of the reason that soccer doesn't gain traction here in the U.S. as much is because people are like, oh, yeah, a 0-0 tie. That's yeah. so exciting. Yeah. It's a problem, and I think that style of play, that style of playing for the tie is the reason the U.S. doesn't pick up more soccer.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes down to the coaching by Jurgen Klinsmann. Mm-hmm. I really think they need to replace him with someone who's has a different mindset mm-hmm. and that is really going to emphasize attacking more.
Yeah.
In order for them to do anything in like the Olympics or World Cup going forward. I mean, they did a decent job this last time, but this is something I've talked about on the show that's on Monday mornings called Olay Utah State, which is primarily soccer-based, but I just feel like when you have goals to just go to the semis, mm-hmm. like your goal is to get to the semis, it's like that's not a goal. Yeah. I mean, yeah. why is your goal to be mediocre?
Yeah.
Yeah, your goal should always be to win. You might not get there every time, but if your goal is never to win, you're never going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that the goal has to be to win, yeah. but if like your goal is to win, but you only get the semis, but that's still as good as you've done in a long time, you can be happy with your performance, mm-hmm. but I just can't stand that to be the goal. Like, and going in before the tournament, he said, like, our goal is to get to the semis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your goal has to be to win, or yeah. what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. I think, I mean, as a Jazz fan, looking into this coming NBA season, we'll get into this more, but I don't view the Jazz as saying, like, oh, yeah, if we make the playoffs, that shouldn't be the Jazz's ultimate goal, is say, let's make the playoffs this season. It should be, let's do something. I mean, obviously, you can look at it and say there's reality that you kind of take into account, but your goal at the end of the season should be to get that ring.
Yeah, and, I mean, I'm more okay with, like, if with the Jazz, like, their goal is to make it to the playoffs because they haven't for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and it's tough to make it to the playoffs in the Western Conference. But obviously, I mean, their goal has to be to get to the playoffs, and then when they get to the playoffs, their goal is to win.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm fine with that being their goal going into the season, like, let's get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But then when you get there, you change your goal to let's win a championship.
Exactly.
But with when you're in a tournament and your goal is just to get, you know, so far – mm-hmm. but not to win is just ridiculous, yeah. in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. So the next thing we kind of want to talk about kind of goes along with loyalty to a player. One thing was that in that Seattle Sounders game, as they went into the U.S. Open, Raimondo was playing a lot with the U.S. team. So Kassar had told Antonella, apparently, that the tournament was his. That he, you know, even if Raimondo comes back, Antonella is our goalie for the rest of the tournament. Which I respect, but at the same time, when you go into penalties in that, you know, game, and you know you have Raimondo on your bench, arguably the best penalty keeper in the Western Hemisphere, if, you know, and he's very well respected, I feel like at that point, there's the idea of kind of setting that pride aside and saying, we need to win, and trusting Raimondo, even though, I mean, I guess Antonella, you told him, but I don't know.
My thing with that is kind of more of like, let's give Antonella some experience, because if you always sub him out when you go to PK shootout, he's never going to get experience. And if, you know, Raimondo goes down and we're in a tournament like this and Antonella has to go in a bigger game and he doesn't have experience, it's almost, yeah, like, it's just not.
Okay. Because this is one thing we had talked about in the past was, you know, the loyalty to a player can be, you know, to a fault or can be good. We brought up the example of recent coaching decisions here at Utah State with our football team, where there had been key players that had injuries and we kind of just kept going with them as they limped literally along the field. And we lost games because of that. And the question is, where do you draw the line between loyalty to a player being, you know, good loyalty, like you say with Antonella, and being bad, where, you know, it happened with our quarterbacks this past year?
With Chucky specifically, I had a problem because he couldn't even run in half of the games that he played. You would see him start to run, or if he did run, we would have trouble, like, getting up after he got hit. And I think that at some point you have to, one, think of the player and thinking, you know, this isn't safe for him. Like, you would hate for Chucky. He's obviously not going to go to the NFL anymore. Mm-hmm. At that point, I don't think there was any chance of him going to the NFL. So is it really worth, you know, getting a injury that haunts you for the rest of your life? Or put in Myers, who is ready to go.
Okay. Now, what if Chucky had said, hey, coach, I know I'm hurting, but I can still do this. I want this. How do you, as a coach, step in and say something there?
Well, I think that you at least give them a chance for a little bit to see if they're going to do it. But if, like, you can tell they're physically not, they're hurting the team mm-hmm. rather than helping the team, I think you have to make a change. Because, I mean, obviously they're hurting themselves at the same time. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, there's times when he was playing where he, like, was really struggling and it was negatively affecting the entire team.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, if you give him a chance, but if he doesn't start to, like, turn it around, then you're like, I'm sorry, I've got to pull you out because, I mean, we still have to try to win this game.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. For example, if Antonella was in another scenario where they're going in a PK shootout, maybe this time he looks to Raimondo, because he already gave Antonella a chance and he showed that he's not experienced to win those big games.
What's Rajon doing in the stands?
Yeah. Yeah, Rajon Rondo is sitting there on the bench at Real Salt Lake. Yeah.
Well, he's got the reach.
Put me in, coach.
You know?
Put me in, coach.
How
I will pass that to my guys. Oh, yeah, we're in PKs, Rondo. Yeah. We're in PKs.
Yeah, that's good. But I know I agree. I think with the injury, it definitely takes a different point. But I think right now you can also kind of look at BYU's football team, and I mean they have a quarterback that has done great things in the past with the injury. But if he comes back completely healthy, if Hill comes back and is just ready to go, but they also have, you know, that second quarterback.
Mangum,
Tanner.
He's so much better.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I would be happy with them playing Taysom Hill because he's just going to go and get injured again. But before that, he's going to cost them some games, I think, because, okay. you know, he tries to do too much running the ball.
Okay.
So I'd be okay with them doing that. But I think in BYU's best interests, and I don't usually have those in mind, but for their best interests, they shouldn't play him.
Yeah, I agree.
At least not at quarterback.
I mean, I kind of looked at it the same way that this year I looked at Myers. Now, it wasn't as definitive, but I definitely looked at it and said, you know, Chucky has done a lot for this team. Hill has done a lot for BYU, but you got a horse with a broken leg.
Yeah, at a certain point, I mean, you can't just keep going back to it because – I mean, you look at what Ohio State did with Braxton Miller. He switched and played wide receiver his senior year because there was two other guys that were going to be ahead of him on the depth chart. And so, I mean, I'm fine with having, you know, some loyalty to a player. But if they're not the best guy on the team, you have to give the guy that's earned it, you know, that job. And mm-hmm. so that's what Ohio State sort of did. Mm-hmm. I don't think that Cardale Jones was better than Barrett, but...
yeah.
You know, ended up losing the job later on, but they didn't put Braxton Miller back in. Even though Braxton Miller did great things for them, you know, he switched positions. I mean, I guess it was his decision, but I don't know if the coaches were like, hey, you know, we think this would be a better idea and that you're probably not going to get to play a quarterback this year.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, why not have Taysom Hill play running back? I mean, that's basically what he does anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a big part of this just comes down to a decision. A decision of this is what we're doing, and we're doing it. Right. But then it comes back to the loyalty to a player, and at what point can you take a step back and go, you know, we chose Chucky. Chucky was our guy, but not anymore. And I agree it comes down to the injury for this season specifically, but I think overall.
Well, I mean, I think that you have to play your best players.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you're inviting all these different players to come and play for the team mm-hmm. – and you say, like, you know, whoever does the best, whoever's playing the best is going to play.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that any time a quarterback has a bad game that you just pull him out. Mm-hmm. Like, you give him a chance to fix it first. But if he's not able to, if you still, like, have the better option on the sidelines, why are you doing that? Because you're just hurting your team in the long run. And just because a player has a bad game doesn't make them lower than the other player. But if consistently... you're seeing that, then you have to make a change.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like the Texans last year putting in Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, I mean, there's Texans have had so many issues with quarterbacks. It's just ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, Ryan Mallett, not even like missing the team plane. Yeah. How does that happen?
It's like, oh, I slept through my alarm, didn't make it to the game this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. Like you're being paid millions of dollars to play quarterback for a professional football team and you can't get up on time.
You had one job that Sunday, and that was to get to the game and then play that game. Yeah. I guess that's two jobs, but
I mean it's really ridiculous. one job really.
Yeah, you wouldn't think making the plane would be his job for that week. They look him in the eye and like, all we need from you this week is to make the plane. That's all we need.
Right. I mean, that could be the case if anyone signs Johnny Manziel. Look, we just need you to show up.
Please be at the game and please be sober.
You're probably not going to see the field, but we need you to be there just in case.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. But I mean, so the next way we're going is kind of goes along with that, loyalty to a team versus loyalty to a player. So LeBron James was villainized. It was just terrible because he looked at the Cleveland Cavaliers and said, they're not doing what I need them to do for me. And he made his decision to leave. As a professional, he looked at his job and said, this job is not what I need. But when the Chicago Bulls look at Derrick Rose and say, you're not doing the job we need for you, no one views Chicago as the villain. But yet when LeBron does the exact same thing, he's the villain. I just don't think that's fair. I think that as a player, you have the same right to say, this isn't the best spot for me, as a team has to say, you aren't in the best spot for us, and we're going to move you.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think it's fair either. And I didn't have any problem with LeBron deciding to leave because, frankly, what Cleveland was doing was a joke. Mm-hmm. Their front office wasn't doing anything to help him. When the second best player on your team is Hughes. Mm-hmm. Like John Hughes, that's who it was.
Yeah.
John Hughes. I mean, someone that most people don't even know about. I know about him because I play NBA games on video games.
You know him from
that was the only way I knew him because, like, even though, like, they played against my team, the Spurs, in the finals, I didn't know anyone but LeBron on the other team. Really, I mean, I did, but I didn't care.
Right.
But when your second best player is John Hughes,
and you're not actively trying to make it.
Yeah, and they had, like, so many years to try to do something.
Yeah.
And it's not like it was a hard sell. You got to come and you have to play with LeBron James. I know it's not great, but...
You know, he plays one of the best in the world.
You got the best guy, the best player on the planet right now who shares the ball.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get anyone to come and help out.
Uh-huh, I agree.
I mean, they're just like, oh, no, I don't want to spend all that money. And it's just like, for him, I was like, I have no problem with him leaving. I have a problem with the way he did it, but...
See, now that's my next point.
Yeah.
I think as an American public, we need to issue LeBron James an apology. I think we saw him as such a terrible villain. And that's what I said for a long time, is that I didn't have a problem with him leaving. I had a problem with him with how he did it, how he made such a big deal about how, you know, I'm going to leave and I'm going to have the decision. But think of it this way. Kevin Durant, everyone sat the whole weekend waiting for Kevin Durant's word. Wouldn't it have been nicer to have maybe a set time to get that set decision and maybe have it where – and one thing I didn't know, LeBron James with that television deal – he donated $4 million to charity.
Hmm.
So he took that publicity that he was getting and just simply with his deal, and he did something good with it.
Yeah, my issue wasn't really with the special or whatever. I mean, I thought that was kind of dumb, kind of tacky.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem was that he didn't tell Cleveland that he was leaving. They didn't find out until after he said, you know, I'm signing with Miami. Like, the team that you've been with, at least just let him know. Say, hey, I'm not coming back next year. You don't have to tell him where you're going if you don't want to, but just tell him you're not coming back. So
what about Durant this year?
So, I mean, I don't know, like, if he told Oklahoma City or not beforehand.
I haven't heard last week that Oklahoma was pretty sure he was staying.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, but yeah, but then in the weekend, like, I was reading a thing today that they kind of felt like he was going to be leaving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's definitely keys. And then it turns into what happens with Westbrook and... And then there's a whole deal. But we'll get into the Durant topic a little later.
But then, with Chicago, I mean, it's I think it should be the same both ways. I mean, we shouldn't criticize too much. And even I'll get more into it when we talk more about Durant's decision. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was the one place he couldn't, like, I wasn't okay with him deciding to go. And I'll dive into that more when we get there. But, like, so, I mean, I don't have a problem with a player thinking that they want to go somewhere else. And especially, like, with LeBron, he was going to play with some of his friends. I mean, and that, I mean, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to play with some of his friends. He realized, like, when he was, after he left, that, you know, he wanted to go back. And so he did. And then Cleveland tried to pretend like they didn't freak out and burn his jerseys. But, but then with Chicago, I mean, the thing, it kind of surprised me because I didn't think they would trade him because, you know, he's from Chicago. He's been their guy, even though he hasn't been performing.
They're the same. Both are hometown, grown in that city, drafted by that city as a top pick, you know, wins the MVP, does all of this, and then they both leave for different reasons, but one is a villain and the Bulls are left as just a business, just making a business decision.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even Derrick Rose is happy about it, apparently.
Yeah, I think for Derrick Rose, it does end up in his best.
I think that's the difference, though, is Cleveland obviously weren't happy with LeBron leaving, but Derrick Rose probably thought for his career it was the best thing.
Probably true.
Because he was no longer the best guy on the team.
Yeah. Even when he wasn't injured, he wasn't the best player on the team.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, like, at that point, like, at this point in his career, he's not the best guy on that team. Mm-hmm. It kind of worked out for him because he also, I think that he's friends with Joakim Noah, and he followed him over to New York, so, I mean, he gets his teammate and stuff, so I think that's probably the biggest thing is that it wasn't like a case where Rose was just blindsided and wasn't expecting to, you know, be, I mean, maybe he was expecting to be traded, maybe he wasn't, but I guess the biggest thing is that it didn't destroy kind of the city or whatever, because he's no longer the best player, mm-hmm. So that's why it wasn't as big of a deal, because if Jimmy Butler, like, up and signs somewhere else, I think he's a free agent next year.
Yeah.
Then that'll probably be more detrimental than Rose leaving at this point.
Yeah.
If Rose left after he won the MVP, that probably would be a different story. If they traded him after that, they'd be like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But I think most people are okay with it just because Rose hasn't really had much of an impact for the last couple of years.
Yeah. He's been on the bench or not performing to the level that we expected of Rose when he was drafted. I mean, you look at Rose and you expected this superstar player, and then he comes and he's been injured or lackluster.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when he was healthy, he was really good, but
I mean
he only stayed healthy for a little bit, and then he's just had a lot of issues since then. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then I thought it was interesting with the loyalty to a team idea, looking at Dwayne Wade. A player that has been with one team for so long. I also find it interesting he's never been the highest paid player on the Heat any given year. But now
not
he
even
looks
once?
Not even once.
Because I feel like he would have been most years.
No, he's never been the highest paid player. I know,
he's definitely taken pay cuts a couple times.
Two pay cuts so that he could play for this team. And
so LeBron and Chris Bosh should come that.
Yeah, because he had Shaq there early on in his career. Before that, he was kind of on his rookie contract.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And so it's been tough.
Here's my thing with Wade, because I actually agree with Wade looking around.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the Heat, they were prioritizing Turnside and Durant. They offered Dwayne Wade $10 million a year, which was half of what he was paying before. You don't offer a player that led their team to the second round of the playoffs and looked really good.
He's still easily the best player.
Yeah, he was their not only their best player, but the leader of the team.
Yeah.
And you're like,
and the heart of the city and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And then be like, oh, we're going to cut your contract in half so that we can maybe get Durant.
Yeah. And I'm assuming you heard about where Wade is looking at today, right? So today, Dwayne Wade followed the Cleveland Cavaliers on Instagram. They followed him back. There have been discussions between him and the Cleveland Cavaliers. He has canceled meetings with other teams that he's supposed to meet with. But then it came out that apparently Cleveland could only offer him about $4 million. He's asking for $50
million. Over
2 years.
Miami's
only given him $40 million over 2 years.
But so I think he would still sign for less there. And
I think so, too.
And even
I think
I'm sure. I actually think that, you know, that's it. You know, saying that LeBron is going to get the max, which mm-hmm. obviously LeBron always has earned the max. Mm-hmm. But LeBron, I wouldn't be surprised a bit if he took a pay cut so that Dwayne Wade could be paid more,
right?
And join the team.
See, now my question with that is if LeBron is looking for the pay cut. Well, I guess this was before. Why did he opt out of his player option? Like
that's a well. I mean,
I guess that was before the Durant deal with the Warriors. I think
yeah.
with the Durant deal, LeBron changes his mentality and says, you know, maybe I will take a little lower than what I wanted, probably more than what he got last year, so that Dwayne can join him and really add. Because I mean, a lineup of Kyrie, Wade, LeBron, Love, and whoever they decide to put at center. I mean, that's a good lineup. That's a powerful lineup.
Yeah, and even there's also a possibility that they could do a sign-and-trade and trade Kevin Love to the Heat.
That's true. They could do a sign-and-trade. That would work well.
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, the Heat can go over the cap for Dwayne Wade because mm-hmm. of all the Bird years that he's got. Mm-hmm. And so they can go over and do that, and then they can trade him for Kevin Love, and they would be fine because it was a trade and they were going to be like similar size contracts. Mm-hmm. So that is a possibility that I could see happening because really, I mean, if you paid attention in the playoffs last year, the Cavs played much better when Kevin Love wasn't involved. And it's just because he doesn't fit with the system, not because he's not a good player.
Yeah, I agree.
So I wouldn't be surprised by that. But yeah, as far as LeBron goes, he's doing this 1-1 deal. So he'll sign for 1 year and then he has the player option for the second year. And so the reason why he opted out of it is so he can do another one of those. Regardless of what his salary is, he can do that. But part of it, of course, before was so that he could get paid that the new max, which is a lot more. But I don't think that's as important to him as winning. I mean, because if he can go back and beat the Warriors now again, mm-hmm. like that'd be great.
Huge for his legacy, beating arguably one of the best teams in NBA history with Durant.
Yeah. Like,
that's going to be spectacular.
Yeah, and so, I mean, a lot of it, and also I think that part of why he does it is to allow for flexibility for signing people. Like, if they have a chance to sign someone, be like, hey, come in here, I'll take less money. He's already getting, probably $1 billion in endorsements. Yeah. I don't know what the exact number is, but it's definitely more than he'll ever need.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because he just signed the $1 billion deal with Nike.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And so, I mean, he's getting all this money from endorsements anyway, so mm-hmm. it's not like he really needs to be paid the most. Obviously, he wants to have the highest contract in history, mm-hmm. but that wouldn't come until next year anyway.
Yeah.
And so what I think will probably happen, I mean, could happen, I guess not probably, because I don't know, but given that what you were saying about the Cavs and Instagram, mm-hmm. it looks like there's a strong possibility that Dwayne Wade would go there.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I wouldn't be surprised at all by that. And he signs for less this year because, I mean, as it is, he can make, like, probably almost $30 million or maybe more than $30 million. I don't remember if that was this year or next year. Mm-hmm. And he can sign for less than that and get Dwayne Wade some more money. They could do a sign-and-trade with Miami mm-hmm. and trade Kevin Love or whatever. And, I mean, that instantly makes the team better. Miami isn't SOL as far mm-hmm. as getting stuff back like Oklahoma City is.
Right.
Yeah.
So I could see that happening. But it allows for a lot of flexibility with them doing these deals, the 1-1s.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay, we want to talk next. So this is going to be our segment of the week. We call it Heat of the Week. It's a topic that me and Alex have talked about before that we have strong differing opinions on. This week we want to talk about two free agent deals specifically. One of them is the biggest deal, is Durant. The other one we want to talk about Howard, Dwight Howard's deal. So,
and I actually have more powerful feelings about Howard than Durant, but
really, I think that you should start with Howard just because Durant, I feel like deserves more time.
Okay.
But definitely, I would say start with Howard then.
Let's hear it.
So we talked, and you said that you don't like Dwight Howard at Atlanta, or you just don't like Atlanta picking up Howard because you don't like Howard going anywhere.
I feel like Howard. He got a big deal, and I just feel like Atlanta isn't the team that should pick him up. I feel like teams like the 76ers and the Kings are the people who make those type of deals, who overpay players that won't really contribute to the team in the way that they're hoping.
Okay, so Atlanta last year was the third lowest in rebounds.
Okay.
Third lowest in offensive rebounds.
Okay.
Whereas Dwight Howard was last year, where he honestly didn't look as good in the Rockets as he has in the past, and he was still the third highest in rebounds overall and third highest in offensive rebounds.
Well, let's be honest, he hasn't looked really good since he was in Orlando.
Right, yeah. But even without looking that good, he's still one of the best rebounders, which is what hurts Atlanta. Yes, Atlanta prioritizes shooters and team chemistry, which you wouldn't think of Dwight Howard.
Yeah, Dwight Howard will not help team chemistry or shooting.
But you definitely need somebody to rebound when you have shooters.
But they already have some top shooters. If you have this rebound, who can get... There was two games last year, the Pelicans, where they got out-rebounded by 20, and one of the Thunder games, they got out-rebounded by 18 rebounds.
Okay.
That's a huge deficit. They averaged...
Especially since, that was probably half of how many over they had.
Right.
Because, an average is probably around 50 a game. So
if you're down by 40.
Yeah, and so I think that league average is somewhere in the low 50s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if you you have barely over half of that in a game, that's not good.
Yeah. So was Horford just not getting rebounds or what? Because I feel like in this decision they essentially chose Howard over Horford. Well, and I feel like overall Horford would be a better fit and contributor.
I believe that Horford was going to leave anyway.
Yeah, he was probably going to leave anyways, and he only averaged around 6 rebounds. He averaged quite a few more points than Dwight Howard did last year, but he definitely didn't average the rebounds where they were hurting the most.
Okay.
And so that's why I really think Dwight Howard, and plus he's going home. Atlanta did an extensive background check into Howard. They attributed it to when you do a background check for a VP. They looked really into it, what they found out apparently is that the team chemistry has been overstated in his fault, that he's not that bad for team. And I think Dwight Howard has been looking for a place where he can be loved, I guess, is where he can go to his hometown and where he can reset this bad PR he has. And I honestly think Atlanta will be a great fit. At points last year, Atlanta looked like the best team in the league, or at least in the East. Obviously, that wasn't consistent, but I think with the rebounders, they could be that second-place team right behind the Cavaliers in the East.
And then that's the thing. Another thing that is great about this deal is that they don't really have a true center. I mean, Horford's been playing center, but he's a power forward.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be the guy that goes down and is in the middle all the time. He'll stretch out and get a shot, and that really that's why they're called stretch fours, because they're the forwards.
Yeah.
The number four position. And so he's going to fill that void that they've had for a long time. They still have Paul Millsap.
Yeah.
And so Paul Millsap does a great job at power forward, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, really, it sucks to lose Horford, but I think that they were going to lose him anyway. So I don't think they were choosing Howard over Horford. But he does bring some stuff to their team. And I think that he might be able to, make more of an impact, because I can't think of anyone who has just really this superstar ego on their team.
Yeah, yeah.
And I agree. That has been one of the issues, that Howard doesn't mix well with other superstars. You've seen anywhere where there's somebody who takes a little bit of his shine away, he doesn't respond well.
Yeah, I mean, Orlando, he was the only guy that was, in that caliber, level of caliber. And he goes to the Lakers, and he's with Kobe Bryant. Obviously, he's not the guy. Yeah. Steve Nash was there, too. Didn't really do much. But also one of those guys that, he's not going to be the guy with those two guys, because they're legends.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the Rockets and Harden. He's the guy in Houston. He doesn't play defense, but he's the guy.
Yeah.
And then now I don't think that there is the guy. I mean, they're more of a team. They've got a lot of good players, but they don't have anyone that has just that ego or that position that they're the guy.
See, now, one of the things that I think is interesting is Dwight Howard last season had a plus or minus throughout the entire season of 19 points. On a team that made the playoffs, he averaged per game a plus or minus of 0.3 points per game.
Right.
That's not a contributor that I see as somebody getting a big deal. Just to give you an idea on it, Elijah Millsap had a plus or minus of 21. Ed Davis, Nick Collison. There's the guys that are on this list right here by him are nobodies. They're not these guys that you give these big deals to. Howard hasn't helped his teams out.
But the thing about it is, I mean, yes, that is a good stat, but it doesn't take into account the other guys around you that are causing points to be scored. It's not like a basically like you're letting your guy score almost as much as you're scoring. When you have someone like James Harden, who doesn't play defense, who allows his guy to score a lot of points, I mean, that's not on Howard. I mean, but Howard's on the floor because of it. And it's really just because the Rockets were mediocre for a lot of the season. And so, I mean, it does... Obviously, I mean, here's where it comes in, is if everyone in your team has a better plus minus than you, that could be something. But I'm willing to bet that there's a few players on the Rockets that all have about the same level, if not worse than him.
All right, so I'm looking up right now to see what
everyone else has.
Harden had.
But well, Harden. Yeah, Harden scores enough that he might.
So he had a plus or minus of 124
for the year.
For the year, so that's 100. That's 1.5 per game.
Yeah, so that's not that much.
Yeah,
right. So and he's their 73rd. He's their main like scorer.
Yeah.
So I mean.
So really. And it's a team thing. Whatever, did your team score more or less than the other team while you were on the floor? So it isn't so much of a thing where Harden is going to be jacked up a lot higher because he scores more, but it just goes into maybe there are stretches where Harden went off when Dwight Howard was out or was fouled out or something. But I don't really feel like it's, you know, that much of a difference when you look at it. It's like 1 point difference, and so. I don't know. I don't think that you can look into it just that or whatever. I mean, obviously that does say something, but it can easily be taken out of context.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that he's great. I don't know that I think that he's at a spot where he deserves the kind of money he's going to make. But then again, I mean, that's kind of true with a lot of the contracts that were signed this offseason.
Yeah, I may not agree with how much he got paid. I didn't look at those numbers at all, but I think... As a fit to Atlanta, he should be a great fit, and he should be a great addition to their team. And that he could honestly be the difference in them being the number three, number two team in the East. I don't.
Yeah, so they paid him $70.5 million over 3 years.
Right.
So that's I just that type of deal is huge. I don't feel like that's the type of deal that they need. That's similar money to what they just paid Kent Bazemore.
I mean, if you have the cap space and you need somebody who's going to get you those rebounds and who's going to be like that team leader almost, maybe it's worth it so you can get a player like a Dwight Howard on your team.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth a shot. I mean, they needed some more help down low, obviously, to get rebounds.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're going to lose Horford, so they had to find someone to be center. And, you know, I think he'll do a decent enough job. He's getting the same contract as a lot of the guys out there that I'm just like, how are you making that much money? Like, Ian Mahinimi, or however you say his name. Like, someone that you don't think of as being, like, a great player, but he's getting, like, $18 million a year or something.
Yeah, $64 million for 4 years is what.
So 16 for him.
Yeah.
And it's like, Washington. How are you making $16 million? I mean, that was... I mean, how much everyone was freaking out about Gordon Hayward getting was just around that, maybe a little bit more for Gordon Hayward, but it's just like, it's been pretty crazy this year. So I don't think it's a terrible deal for Atlanta because, you know, normally, yeah, that's a lot of money, but then with the cap jump this year, it's really not as much as it was last year.
Okay.
And at the same time, who else would they pick up at center? Maybe they had to deal out a little bit more money so that they could get that star center that they really wanted to get those rebounds that they feel they needed.
And that's the thing is like the market's very thin at center. I mean, you don't have a lot of options. Even with all the issues that Dwight Howard has, he's still one of the premier centers in the league.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah, because the other centers that are still on the table that still haven't signed a free agent deal is David Lee, Nene, Anderson Varejao. There's not big names.
That exactly. Are. David Lee, I guess, is going to be signing with the Warriors as well.
Is that what it's looking like? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next point is Durant. I think Durant signing with the Warriors is, for one of the best things that could happen right now. I am a huge fan of this deal. I am not a Warriors fan, but I'm very happy about this. First of all, I'm a Jazz fan. As a Jazz fan, what that does is it takes it So the Thunder are no longer competitors. They didn't make the playoffs before when Durant was hurt for that year. They're not going to make the playoffs this year, and if they are, they're not going to be a 3 seed or a 4 seed. That opens the door to where the Jazz could be a 4 seed instead of a 5 seed. And the difference between being a 4 and a 5 is instead of being away playing at the Clippers or at the Thunder, you're then at home playing against the Blazers or somebody else there. I mean, I think the Jazz have a great spot here. And so as a Jazz fan, first of all, I think that is awesome. I'm very happy about that.
And what was your second point, if not as a Jazz fan? Because
so for Durant, this is probably the best thing he could do. I mean, you're looking at a person and you're saying he's taking he's a young guy. I mean, do you really want to live in Oklahoma City for your whole life? I mean, I think you take just the environment. The Bay Area, being in California, is going to be a lot better for him lifestyle-wise than Oklahoma City. That's a part of it. Also, you have to have a ring to have a legacy. Right now, everything is compared to how many rings you have. That's part of the reason that John Stockton and Karl Malone, when there's a discussion, it always comes up. Well, they didn't get a ring. And I think even if he just gets one or two rings, that carries a lot more weight than retiring and saying, well, he didn't get any.
Right.
Well, here's the other side of that. Getting a ring that you were the main part of is one thing. Getting a ring with someone where you're going to be probably the third fiddle, if we're being honest.
I wouldn't see him as the third fiddle there.
Obviously, he's the most talented.
Yeah.
He is the most talented. But that's Steph Curry's team, and Klay Thompson has been the number two guy, even or him or Draymond Green.
Yeah.
You could say he'd be the number two guy. Durant is just kind of like an afterthought, really. And as far as getting a ring, like, if you don't earn it, then it doesn't really help you, I don't think. And you think about, like, Robert Horry, he had, like, 7 rings. But do you think of Robert Horry as being one of the greatest guys in the history of the game? No, he was a good guy. He was clutch, but he's not one of the, you know, all-time greats that you think of.
Okay.
You know, I like Robert Horry. He helped the Spurs win. Right. And so, I mean, but the thing is for me, this Warriors team already proved they could win a championship. And now Durant going there, it doesn't mean that he was the reason they won the championship. They've already been there. They've already won. Last year, they should have won, but yeah, they didn't. And even last year, he was up 3-1 on these guys in the Western Conference Finals, and he couldn't finish them off. But, I mean, for me, it's just there's going to be, like, an asterisk next to any championships he wins with them, as long as, like, those four are together.
Yeah, so I have no issue with him leaving Oklahoma City. If it's not a good fit, it's not a good fit. I think it's incredibly weak to go to the team that you were up 3-1 in the playoffs, where you had 3 48-minute intervals to beat this team, and you couldn't. I think there was much better teams where he would have been a better fit on, but I think if you go to the Warriors, like, well, I just need a ring, and I hate that mentality. It's the same thing with LeBron, where he was leaving Cleveland not because he needed a ring. He deserved a ring because he was the god of basketball.
But even with that, I mean, the Heat hadn't won one already.
Right, and
so
they weren't.
I mean, obviously they were a heavy favorite to win because of the talent they had between those three. But even, like, they hadn't won it. Obviously Dwayne Wade had won it with Shaq, but that was a few years before, and it was a completely different team by the time LeBron went there. But Durant's going to a team that's already proven that they can win a championship. They're pretty much mostly together. Obviously, you know, some pieces have left. Just barely.
See, and that's the thing I look at. This Warriors team next year is not the same Warriors team. They're not going to be running the same system. It's going to be really interesting. A lot of times we look at this and we think, oh, this is just going to be an easy road to a championship. This won't be easy.
It definitely won't be easy.
And I think when you look at it, they've lost a lot of their key player. I mean, not obviously not the big three, but other than that, they've lost a lot.
Right.
I mean, this isn't the same team returning. It's going to take work. And, I mean, their starting center is going to be Zaza. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's not a guy that you look at and go, oh, that's a guy that you win championships with.
Yeah, but
oh, come on. Definitely. I mean, he's the clutch guy. He is the guy.
He's the guy you go to every time.
If you want to win a championship, you go to Zaza Pachulia.
Yeah. And their backup shooting guard is now Patrick McCaw. So you're telling me if Clay's not on the court, you're trusting good old McCaw.
But the thing about it is they have, like, they're not going to leave their starting five. They're not going to pull out all their starting five. Like, why would you? I mean, you can keep someone on while the other guys are off, and it's just basically, it's going to be pretty easy with the star power that they have to do about what they did last year, if not better, which is crazy to think about. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, sure, the backup shooting guard isn't that great, but, I mean, you can pull someone out, like, say, go in, and you stagger the guys going out, because no matter who's on the court, if you've got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and Draymond Green in, you have someone that can take charge and score.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you're obviously not going to pull all four of those guys out at once unless it's the fourth quarter and you're up by 40 points. But, I mean, it would be foolish for them to do it if they were in a close game and just put in the backup. I mean, you leave someone in there to help out.
Okay.
Like, help pick up the slack. And really, that's another way that they can, you know, manage, like, who's got the ball, because there's only one ball. I mean, not everyone's going to be able to score, but that's the way you stagger it. You pull someone out, and then so you pull out Thompson near the end of the first quarter, and then when you pull Durant out, you put Thompson back in or whatever. And so, really, it's pretty frustrating for me.
My next point, I want to see what you guys would think. Now, remember, Durant has not signed his contract. He cannot sign until there's cap room for him, and they're about
there.
Well,
he also can't until the 7th.
Right. Yeah. So, what would you guys think if the Warriors made all these deals to make the cap room for Durant, and Durant comes out, makes an announcement, not that he changed his mind, because changing his mind is weak, but that this has been the plan all along. He loves Oklahoma. He's never leaving Oklahoma. And he comes back, and he says, this is what we wanted. I saw an opportunity when they started talking to me months and months ago to take my top competitor and take them out.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
It's not likely. Nor, how would you view it, though?
I think as funny as it would be super shady, and I wouldn't be okay with it. As somebody who
they would definitely get fined for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be bad. And So
why were the Clippers fined for the DeAndre Jordan deal?
No, but that was a different thing. Like, what you're saying, they would get fined, that they planned this, that they would plan to.
But what if it's just Durant the other says, team? That's what I planned?
Well, then maybe they would fine him.
Okay. Yeah,
then define him.
But, like, I actually thought about this because I was like, well, you know, everyone in Oklahoma City is already burning their Durant jerseys. What if something happened with DeAndre Jordan where, like, his buddies just get him and kind of keep him there until he changes his mind.
Yeah.
And
he can't leave the city.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's not official. I mean, and a part of me is like hoping that that isn't what he's going to do, but I don't see that happening. I don't think he changes his mind. Okay. But, I mean, that would be really, really terrible if he did that. I mean, as much as I have gotten sick of the Warriors and their bandwagon that everyone jumped on, that would be terrible.
Yeah. That's how I almost view it as Kevin Durant jumping on the Warriors bandwagon.
Yeah, that's how I said it. He's a bandwagon player.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least for now.
I would have respected him way more had he gone to the East and tried to compete with this unbeatable Warriors team who just lost in the championship.
Yeah.
But, or like, at least another team in the Western Conference other than the Warriors. I think of all the choices he had, the Warriors was the weakest and the most like bandwagon choice he could have ever made.
Yeah, I thought he would have been anywhere else he would go and he could win and you could attribute it to him going there. But with the Warriors, you can't because they've already won. Their core has already been together. They've been to two championships straight. They won the first one. They barely lost the second one. And anywhere else, like, he could have made a name for himself. I had no problem with him leaving Oklahoma City if he doesn't want to be there. But just going to the team that's already got a lot of great players and have already been to the, they set the regular season record for wins last year. Mm-hmm. To go there, it does seem weak. I mean, Stephen A. Smith is, the one that is everyone I mean, has probably seen the video of him talking about how it's weak, and I agreed with him. Yeah. Most of the time, I don't agree with Stephen A. Smith because he says a lot of stupid things.
Yeah.
But I agreed with him on that, and I thought it was weak. I thought that he could have gone anywhere. I thought if he did, I didn't think he was going to leave in the first place. I said that on my show on Friday, but I said if he did leave, no, I didn't say this part, but I was thinking if he did leave, he would go to somewhere in the Eastern Conference. Yeah. So that way he doesn't have to do that tough slog through the Western Conference Finals and the Western Conference all year that he had to do. Because they had to beat the Spurs, and the Spurs was not an easy series. They got throttled the first game, and then the Spurs kind of disappeared at times. Mm-hmm. And that was really frustrating for me as a fan of the Spurs. But, I mean, you have to do that. You have to go through, like, three rounds of really tough play as opposed to the Eastern Conference where the Cavs swept their first two series because the teams they were going against weren't very good.
Yeah. See, now, and that brings up my next point. In the last 6 years, there have been four teams to come out of the Western Conference. In the last 6 years, LeBron has come out of the Eastern Conference.
Every single time.
Every single time.
Which is why I would have liked Durant in the East to be another big name in the East, leading his team to the playoff championship.
But if you're Durant and you look at, where's my best job? Yeah. Where's the job where I'm going to get my money, I'm going to get my legacy? I mean, all he was a young guy looking for the best thing for him. What's to blame for that? If I was to get called today and tell me that I could get my dream job, that I could get all the everything I've ever wanted, and it was just sitting in San Francisco, and they had a job offer for me, and it had the pay that I wanted, what's wrong with me taking that job?
Because as a star player in the NBA, I don't believe your like dream job should be to be jumping on the bandwagon of the team that set the record for the regular season last year. It should be, I'm going to go to a team that I can lead to a championship and beat the team that set the regular season record last year.
I think being on the best, arguably the best NBA team of all time,
as not one of the top two players?
Yeah, as one of the top two players on one of the arguably best team of all time is probably most teams' dream job.
Yeah, I mean,
most people think of that as what they want.
Honestly, I mean, it is. It's going to be the easiest road for him to win a championship, without a doubt, because, I mean, if you can't beat him, join him.
Yeah.
And they're a tough team to beat. I mean, they're a really good team before him. And now with him being there, I mean, they're even tougher. But, I mean, as far as him, I believe that he, he wants to be one of those, the greats, one of the legends that goes down in history. Obviously, LeBron has kind of been the guy that, he wants to be the greatest ever, I think. I feel like Kevin Durant has got similar idea, if not the same idea, that he wants to be the best ever. But I don't think you become the best ever by going and joining a team that is, like last year,
that
was
lost the
best
championship.
Team. Yeah, they lost a championship, but they had the best record in the regular season in NBA history, and they went to their second straight championship.
And they're still touted as one of the best teams ever, whether or not they won the championship, which is what made them not the best team ever.
Yeah.
The fact that you go to that team, I can't see that as, like, I think LeBron going to the Heat was way more respectable when he joined up with made like the dream team and led his team to a championship than jumping on a team that's already proven that they can make it to a championship 3 years in a row and getting a ring that way.
Yeah, so I mean, that's just the thing, is like, I feel like Kevin Durant he's the second best player on the planet right now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think most people will agree with me. Some people think that Steph Curry is a better player, but he's not. He's a better scorer, probably.
And
he's the best scorer, best shooter.
This offseason, they found his kryptonite. I think the physicality, whenever any team's physical with Steph, you see that that's when he struggles. That's what the Thunder did to him. That's what the Cavs did to him. The Blazers even did a little bit earlier, and that's when he struggled.
I think Spurs would have done it hard enough. And I tell you, if the Spurs were up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals,
they don't lose.
The Warriors don't win that series.
No.
There was a complete fault, like, let down by Oklahoma City. And the Spurs, obviously, they didn't get it done to get to that position. But I think I really wanted to see that series because of just, like, how good those two teams had been all year. Especially since I wanted my team to win the championship, but didn't work out. But, yeah, so, I mean, that was something, like, I was saying, though, the Cleveland Cavaliers aren't out of this series, even though they were down 3-1. Because they can play physically and they can get... because the Warriors are in three-point mode all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And it doesn't matter if they're making them or not. They keep shooting them. Yeah. And if they're, if you keep on them, they'll start to take, you know, bad off balance shots. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to make those as often because they're tougher shots.
Yeah.
And if they're on and they make those, then it's tough to beat them. But if they start missing some of them, I mean, they really live and die by the three, and they died by the three in the finals.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And I don't think it's going to get any better because Kevin Durant plays a similar style a lot of times.
Well, and one of like Kevin Durant's signature plays is that pick and roll, setting up Curry for the deep three that he did all last year.
Yeah.
And, or pick and roll, getting open himself and hitting the deep three. Yeah. One of the popular plays the Warriors did last year.
Yeah, and but I mean, it's the same thing as like, I guarantee the Warriors will have a lot of success next year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they might win as many or more than they did last year. It'll be a little bit tough because they're transitioning to a different chemistry. Mm-hmm. But based on the talent that they have, they could win just as much, if not a little bit more than they did last year. But I think that they will run into problems in the playoffs for the same reason, because it's tough to win in the playoffs when your main focus is the three-pointers.
Yeah.
Because if you're off,
You're
screwed. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting because it took two different teams blowing a 3-1 series lead for this to happen.
Yeah.
Because if the Cavs lose to the Warriors, I doubt that Durant goes. If the Thunder beat the Warriors, I doubt that Durant goes.
Which is why I find it even more weak that you go to the team that stole your playoff win rather than going back in and like, okay, we're going to beat you next year, though. Watch out. Or coming in as a different team, I'm going to lead the Heat or I'm going to lead the Celtics to beat the Warriors next year and the championship.
Yeah. I mean, my argument more is that it was better for him to leave. I actually would have loved him to go to the Celtics. I like the Celtics. They have a winning legacy. But I just feel like playing for the Warriors was a better option for him than staying with the Thunder. And I think for the NBA, it's amazing. Look at it. We are in July, and the only thing talked about right now is Kevin Durant. Baseball season is in mid-swing. The Cubs are having an amazing season, but no one is mentioning it.
Well, it's because nobody talks about baseball anyway.
Right.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Do you consider it good for the league to have, like, this one huge powerhouse in the conference and then everyone else is kind of, like, below them? Like, I think the Spurs last year were on a pretty close level to the Warriors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
but
and now the gap is widened a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see if the Spurs can find a way to just, like, beat the Warriors and just make them look bad.
That would be awesome.
Oh, I guess they're not invincible.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think that they're the team that's going to be like, we don't care how many superstars you have, we're still going to come at you, and we're still going to find a way to beat you.
Well, that's what Pop does. Pop does an amazing job at just finding role players and putting them into that right system, into that right spot.
Yeah, and I'd say that Greg Popovich is the greatest coach of all time in the NBA.
It's hard to argue against that.
That's definitely a strong...
Definitely right now, for sure.
For sure. Oh, it definitely the best current coach, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that he's probably the best of all time because, I mean... You see what he does with all these guys that were cast-offs of other teams that weren't anything. Like, Boris Diaw wasn't hardly in the league, and then he was a major part on their championship a couple years ago.
Right. Yeah.
Who's now on the Jazz, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm extremely happy about that. Just as a little tangent, Dennis Lindsay is absolutely incredible. The deals he has made this offseason have been amazing. Getting Joe Johnson, getting Boris Diaw. I mean,
trading for George Hill.
George Hill.
I mean, this team is going to be a good team. Like, even without those deals, like they were going to be a playoff team.
Oh yeah.
And now with them, they're going to be even better.
I look at this. We have veterans who have championship experience with Boris. I think it's perfect. A big man from France being able to talk to Gobert and work with him. That's the perfect spot. I even would say, depending on how healthy we stay and how everything moves, I wouldn't be afraid to say we could get the 3 seed behind the Spurs and the Warriors.
Happen.
I mean, that's just passing up the Clippers is essentially all I really feel is the challenge. And I felt like last year, when we were healthy, we kept up with the Clippers well, and we're a stronger team now.
Yeah, when the Jazz are healthy, they've got so many good young players.
Mm-hmm.
And now you add a couple of veteran presence, presences that can help out. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were one of the youngest rosters in the league last year, and they still did a great job, even like battling through all those injuries. They still almost made it to the playoffs. They barely missed.
They were three shots away from being like a six seed.
Yeah. I mean, we were a couple of games out. And the way that Lyles has progressed as well has been amazing.
Oh, Lyles is my favorite guy to pass to on NBA 2K16. He's just like, so on my player mode, like, I'm on the Jazz as the point guard. And, like, I love passing it to him because every time he scores, like, every time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I love this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yesterday.
There's an assist.
Yesterday in the summer league, he started 3-for-3 from three. He started the game 4 minutes into the game with 11 points. Today as well, he's been ripping up the summer league. I think as he continues growing and getting rid of Booker gives Lyles that extra time.
Yeah,
I love Booker. I wish we wouldn't have lost Booker.
Right,
but it helps Lyles to progress. It's a good spot for him.
Honestly, DL's an upgrade over Booker.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like even though he's old, he's an upgrade, and he's really a placeholder because really Lyles is the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's gonna be like a three big guy rotation. That's the main thing. Obviously, you need other guys to fill in as well. But the main three big guys, like, they're all good young players. And Lyles, he's one of those guys that went to Kentucky that was highly, like, touted coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. He wasn't, like, the focal point of that team. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's got that talent. He's just got to develop it. And the Jazz have done a great job with that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's so many good players. Like, if you're a Jazz fan, the next, like, 10 years are going to be pretty exciting, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Diao's one of those players that can just come off the bench and score 10 points easily for you and just be a huge game changer.
Yeah, and even without scoring, like, he's a good passer. Right. Like, he finds open guys, and he also does a good job on defense. Mm-hmm. And he knows how to win because he was with the Spurs. And, I mean, even if you didn't know it before, you know when you're with the Spurs how to win games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're instantly a ton better. They also, George Hill was on the Spurs before. Mm-hmm. I mean, he came from the Pacers, but before he went to the Pacers, he was actually the guy they traded to get Kawhi Leonard in the draft.
Yeah,
right. he was a good player. I was sad to see him go, but I'm excited for the Jazz because they're my second favorite team.
And that is blasphemy in this state as well.
Well, I mean, I'm not from Utah.
It's almost like being a Lakers fan. And
yeah, oh, no, that's not worse. Even. That is
no.
The Lakers, you. That's the worst thing you can do.
Not even close.
No,
being a Lakers fan here is just terrible. But I mean, I like the Jazz a lot, but my team is the Spurs.
It goes Lakers, and then yes, it's a big drop off. But then the next hated team in Utah is the Spurs.
I don't think so, though. I mean, I don't feel like anybody hates the Spurs.
You could,
other than you hate that they always win.
Yeah, that is the same thing. But you don't hate them, though. No, you hated Kobe Bryant coming in and just ripping you up.
You hate the Lakers because of the way they are.
They're dirtbags.
Oh, well, there's a lot of dirtbags. Kobe Bryant, I'm not a fan of him. But the Spurs, like, they don't do anything, like, that is,
They're like Germany, though. They're always so consistently good that it's frustrating to ever play against
the Spurs. Like Alabama.
Well, I mean, But you don't hate anyone on that team because
they don't
have any ego because Pop won't allow it.
Oh, I love Tim Duncan. Tony Parker was one of my favorite players back in the day. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, like, 3 years ago.
I love Pop as a coach, but as a person, I can't handle it. The way he treats those interviews and those reporters, I just feel like it's unprofessional, and it's just not the way to treat it.
I mean, it's just his personality is that he doesn't enjoy those at all. But, I mean, he does them because he's supposed to.
Yeah, he's here to not find.
Basically. But it's funny when he, like, jokes around with the reporters.
Yeah.
Like, there was one time, I think it was last offseason, where there was a reporter that was just going, like, was trying to ask him questions. And he was, like, avoiding them hardcore. And then, like, he was kind of being a little bit of a dick. And then he's like, I was just practicing for those guys over there. I'll answer your question. It was so funny.
Oh, man.
But, yeah.
I agree. I think there's a lot of stuff going on. I think it's really exciting to see everything going on in the sports world. This
has been a very exciting offseason for sure.
I think it's exciting to see. Especially, I mean, I'm ecstatic to see what happens this NBA season. I'm probably going to spend many nights crying over close losses and screaming over great wins, and I think that's how the NBA should be, and I think it creates it creates a great legacy. I think this season is building up to be a spectacular season.
Yeah, I'm glad to finally have a team that'll actually probably be good and a playoff contender. I've been a Rams fan since I was young, so but you know, like after they went to the Super Bowl, so I didn't even get to enjoy the Super Bowls. I've just enjoyed the Mark Bulger years. So it's
I think that the Rams have moved up to my second team on the NFL. Like I've got the Broncos, and then I got like whoever I like the most out of everybody else. But the Rams, just based solely on them being in Los Angeles, because I love Los Angeles. I also kind of like the Rams before that anyway, but especially since they're in Los Angeles.
You just can't hate the Rams because there's no player on the team that's good enough to be a dirtbag that you can hate them. I mean, Todd Gurley is at that level where he's like, he was described as the best non-quarterback talent in the NFC West. But he's
a beast.
He's so good. I'm so excited to see him grow.
And then
LA.
You guys got Goff, too, who's really good. So, good. I mean, he might have some struggles the first three or four years, because he's young and still learning and adjusting. But he's going to be really good, I think.
I mean, I've watched Mark Bulger throw away so many games. I'm okay waiting a few years for a young guy to get to that level. And even Nick Foles, who I was excited for last year, who decides, I'm going to try and scramble and throw the ball at the ground. He's probably going to be an upgrade.
Well, better at the ground than at the opposing team.
Oh, he did that quite a bit as well. But
at least he did it more at the ground.
Yeah, you're fair.
He could be like Peyton Manning and throw 17 interceptions in like 9 games, which was just awful. And early, like the last 3 games
but at least he played, Peyton he didn't throw any. Could get yardage.
Peyton Manning was terrible last year.
Okay.
The Broncos offense was pretty
terrible.
Last year
retired 2 or 3 years
ago. You can't count last year. He was basically retired last year.
Well, not 2 or 3. I mean, if he retired after last year, wouldn't have like kind of the sour last season. But he also set the record for most passing yards of all time.
Yeah.
But he also did it in a game where he threw 4 picks.
Yeah.
And they benched him.
And then they benched him
But he also was injured. And so...
Yeah, when you're considered one of the best quarterbacks ever and you get your last Super Bowl off a defensive win, basically.
Yeah, I feel like the Broncos won that despite having Peyton Manning.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much because they had Peyton.
Yeah, it was the defense did such a good job last year that even though, you know, lots of teams say they won because of the defense or they won because of their offense, but the defense won in spite of the offense.
Exactly.
But really, I mean, he was a lot better once he came back from the injury. Right. Like as far as not turning over the ball, he didn't do it much, but he didn't, you know, cost the defense stuff, because there were so many times last year that the defense, you know, had to go out there on their own side of the field because of an interception or a fumble.
Yeah.
And they would stop them from scoring a touchdown, and they would force them to kick a field goal. And so, I mean, the defense, it's, you could argue that it was one of the best of all time, if not the best of all time. I kind of think it's the best of all time, just based on how easy it is for offenses to get yards now, and their defense, you know, really shut down teams, and they were always in that situation where they were in bad spots because of the offense, and they still were able to do it. I mean, I do say that they could be. But I also don't like comparing one generation to another, because there's no way to do it because the game has changed. That's the same reason why you can't say last year's Warriors team would beat the Bulls team in a 7-game series, because you don't know. You don't know if they could or not. It's a different game and stuff. So it's always hard to make those comparisons, and I try to avoid them. But at the same time, like, I do want to believe that the Broncos defense last year possibly was the best of all time, but at the same time, no way to know.
They definitely proved the saying that defense win championships, because their defense was the only reason they were in a championship.
Which is what the Utah Jazz will do this year. The Jazz have the defense. I mean, obviously, I don't think this year is the year, but I think the defense that we have will progress to be a very strong defense that can win championships.
Yeah,
I really feel like
if this team stays healthy, I wouldn't be surprised if they got that third seed, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Because they've got a lot of good talent. They've got shooters. They've got guys who can penetrate. The one move that kind of baffled me was one that you put on Slack, was that
trading. Know,
Trey Burke was traded for
a 14-year-old.
A 14-year-old.
Well, and not even any 14-year-old. A second-round 14-year-old.
Well, honestly, I mean, if he's a second-round, he probably is a 16- or 17-year-old.
It's possible.
Because, I mean, one of the guys that graduated still, like, went to the draft because...
Yeah.
We'll probably talk more about that in depth next week, but I thought Trey Burke definitely showed that he deserved more than a 14-year-old in trade. I'm not sad that we traded him. I'm just sad for him of who we traded him for. It's like, what can we get? And they were like, well, we got a 2021 pick. And we were like,
we couldn't get good enough.
We're we'll take anything.
We were just kind of trying to drop
him. We
should have
traded him for a couple Klondike bars. I think that would have been the best option.
What would you do for a Klondike bar?
I'd trade Trey Burke.
Apparently.
I mean, I don't think that, the Jazz wouldn't have had any issue as long as that was considered a legal trade.
Can you imagine?
They're like, we have seven point guards. We need to get rid one of
them. The headline on ESPN, Trey Burke traded for 2 Klondike bars and 10 Chuck E. Cheese tokens.
That'd be hilarious. And, you know, it wouldn't be an issue because, I mean, they do cash considerations for trades if you're under the salary cap.
Okay.
And so they could do it. I mean, obviously, if they traded a pick for a player, that means that they're under the salary cap.
Yeah.
Like, if they're over the salary cap, then you have to trade, like, within, like, 10% of the contract.
Yeah.
Like, has to be the same. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, if they traded for a pick, they could have really traded for anything. Yeah. They should have just traded for cash. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Can we get about $1,000 for Trey Burke, maybe?
Maybe just, like, do you want to get us some, like, tickets to a football game or something?
Can we get season tickets to your games, please?
Yeah.
Who did he go to again?
Wizards.
The Wizards. Yeah, I don't know if you'd want season tickets to the Redskins, though.
Yeah, I was about to say Redskins. Just like, get that one. Yeah, I don't know. Could they maybe, like, set up a meeting where the Jazz can meet with president? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, hey, can you speak to Obama over there?
Yeah.
See if we can meet with him before he's out of office. Yeah,
maybe Obama's the one that set up the trade. Who knows?
Could be. You never know.
All right. Well,
awesome. Want to thank everyone for listening. It's been fun. We went a little bit longer than planned. But make sure you tune in next week. We're going to be doing this every week. And 5 o'clock next Tuesday.
Yep.
I don't remember what day of the week it was. I mean, this is over a competitive bystanders.
Correct.
I'm still working on remembering that because I didn't come up with it. They did. So. Yeah.
And you can follow us on Twitter at @competitiveUSU.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll have some great sports tweets going through on that one, things we'll talk about throughout the week.
Yeah, and you can tweet at us what you think we should talk about next week, maybe even our Heat of the Week topic. That'd be cool because we don't have one yet.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
Maybe we'll talk about Trey Burke.
Yeah, next week's show will be entirely dedicated to Trey Burke.
An hour of Trey Burke talk.
And at the end, we're all going to go get Klondike bars.
More time than Trey Burke has ever been talked on in ESPN. But
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. He was talked about a decent amount when he was at Michigan.
Okay.
And he got drafted.
But I mean,
probably the total amount that he was talked about at ESPN.
Yeah.
We'll do that next week.
Yeah, pretty much. No, we probably won't do that. But
you're right. I don't have that much to say about Trey Burke.
Just kidding. Please
touch most of it.
We promise we won't talk about Trey Burke.
Like, I like Trey Burke. I think he's a good guy off the bench. At times, he was the only one that seemed to be able to score for the Jazz last year.
Yeah.
There were times.
And when he was given minutes.
He's not big enough to play defense against some of these point guards in the West.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, we had 7 he's not good point on defense guards to begin with anyway. Something like that. So.
Yeah, so they had to get rid of somebody.
Right.
And it made sense because, you know, he at least he's young enough that people will be like, yeah, we'll take him.
But a 14-year-old, though, that's my issue. I actually don't have any issue with us getting rid of him. I just thought he deserved more than a 14-year-old.
I just think it's going to be trade bait. I doubt that the Jazz end up using that pick. I bet that later on down the road
they trade that pick with something else. Yep. Yeah. That's usually how it goes for second-round picks. They're not very, you know...
useful.
They're not very useful because most of those guys don't make it in the playoff or don't make it in the NBA anyway. Except for the Spurs. They seem to always be able to pull something out of the second round.
I mean...
like the last pick of the second round every time, and there's always find a way to pull someone out. Like, I think Manu Ginobili was... he was a second-round pick, like, deep in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff but
I mean, if you look at the draft this year, anything over like the 15th pick was not as useful. There wasn't as
well, even beyond the first two, it was kind of hard to find.
Yeah,
it was
Turtle and a few others that I looked at and was like, oh, I'd like that on our team, but besides that, I mean,
there's nothing,
but anyway, we actually are gonna be done this time, so I want to thank everyone for listening here on Aggie Radio to Over Competitive Bystanders. And make sure you tune in next week. We're going to post a copy of this onto our website. So I'll have it up in the next, like, 10 minutes. So if you want to hear it again, you can go on there.
Show your friends.
Yeah. Tell your friends.
Tell your enemies.
Tell your enemies.
Just tell anybody.
Tell the random people walking down the street. Hey, check out this podcast. But anyway, yeah. Thanks for listening.